Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Hey y'all, it's your girl Claudia Jordan, and we're back with TGIF. We're here to spill the tea and break down the biggest headlines in the news and on social media. So sit back, relax, and get ready to sip on this hot tea we have for you tonight. Please welcome Al Reynolds. What's up, Al?
Hey, what's going on, Claudia?
I'm good. How are you?
Very good.
Very good. Okay, okay. And please welcome Armand Wiggins. What's up, Armand? How are you?
What's going on, everybody? I am good. I am ready to get into these topics. I feel like it's going to be a spicy day.
You guys are giving like grays and muted neutral tones. Did y'all plan this?
No.
No.
But you're giving the pop of color. I'm loving the Tiffany blue. And I see the girls are in the cage today.
They are caged. They are restrained. All right. Let's get into it. Okay. Drinking. I feel bad even asking y'all this. Are we
definitely
not?
Definitely drinking.
Okay. All right, Mon.
Not today, but soon to come.
Next week.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Hey, I really want to give a shout out to all the soulmates in Charleston, South Carolina. I'll be there tomorrow. I'll be there tomorrow hosting the Great Shakeup from 12 to 5. It is a Black bartender competition and a day party. Go to the Festival Noir with a greatshakeup.com or go to my page. I would love for my Charleston, South Carolina soulmates to come on out and say what's up and let's have a drink together. So I'm going to save it on my drinking for tomorrow. Okay, let's get into these topics. This just in. Jeannie Mai submitted documents, including photos, to the court today, alleging that she was physically and verbally abused by Jeezy multiple times. She even claims he pushed her down the stairs and hotel security had to intervene. She also claims their child has been in close proximity to Jeezy's guns. Now, Jeezy fired back, saying the photos of her injuries were from a golf cart accident. Now, Jeannie, that's true. That's very shady. What are your thoughts on the evidence presented, Al? What do you think?
Oh, man, this is not looking good for Jeezy, unfortunately. Not only does she have the incident recorded at the Ritz-Carlton in San Francisco, because she was pushed downstairs, the hotel had to create what was called an incident report. And just the paper trail around the abuse, the documented abuse, is what's really going to help her out in this case. Not to mention that she's using Nene Leakes' divorce attorney, Kessler and Kirsten. Those two are just killer lawyers, and they are clearly building a case right now to the tune that Jeezy has asked the courts to not allow her to use those divorce attorneys. All of these look like very bad red flags for him. I hope somehow the two of them can settle this before it gets really, really ugly, because the proof that she's putting up, not only from the Ritz-Carlton incident, but the incident at the annual Mayor's Mass Ball in 2022, is just not looking very good for Jeezy. Now, this is the thing. She is clearly pulling her Karen card. And that's why I always say, you got to be very careful, young Black successful men, who you date and marry, because when they pull it, they use it. And when they use it, they're going for blood.
Okay, Armand, what do you think?
I agree. I mean, and I see a lot of people in the comments, they don't have sympathy for him because, you know, she ain't a Black woman. So at the end of the day, I think this can be very sticky and very interesting, especially, you know, the claims that, you know, the kids were close to the guns. I don't know how that's going to work out in court when he's trying to fight for custody of the kids. Yeah. If you have them sitting around guns. Now, these photos, this is what confused me, because I get that she has proof, but these photos that kind of came out, they're almost alluding to the fact that this was the incident, and this is not actually the incident. This is more of an incident of the golf court, of the golf cart, like tumbling over the golf cart accident. But I just feel like it gets sticky and the lines get blurred once these kind of images come out, because then people try to put that with the abuse claims, and it's not really clear. So I would have liked the images that came out of the actual abuse other than these ones.
So, Armand, just to clear that up, the pictures of the golf cart incident was her sharing with the courts of him drinking excessively and being belligerent. And this is what happened when he was drinking. Now, the funny part here also is she has three different people that she's calling to the stands as witness. She's calling the couple's therapist, their pastor, and a close friend who, when every time one of these incidents occurred of physical abuse, she went and spoke to them. So this is very damaging. It's my opinion that I think Jeezy should, you know, we don't want to see or hear all of this about him. We like him. We support him. He's a fellow workmate here at Fox Soul. So come on, Jeezy, get smart with this. I think try to settle this outside of court, because the more we're learning, the more we're questioning the truth behind this abuse.
You know what sucks for her? I will say this. And you know, I'm very pro-Black on this show, okay? And in life. The fact that she's not Black is definitely going to be held against her in this case. Mm. It made people automatically be like, oh, well, she a Karen and she, you know, this is what she gets. So we don't really care because he went and married a white woman or an Asian woman. And that's really, if you really think about it, as much racism as Black people have endured in this nation, we would be no better to have that kind of attitude just because she's not Black. If the man committed acts, these acts against her, then he committed these acts. And unfortunately, even though he's one of our people that we like and we rock with, we shouldn't rock with people if this is in fact true. Now, at first I was side-eyeing because I thought she was kind of conflating the injuries from the, you know, the golf cart. But if that's caused from him and his actions, then she has every right to say that. And who are we to downplay it and say it's not true because of her race? You know what I'm saying? I think that's like, I think she was kind of getting the short end of the stick per se, kind of to say now, because of that. And I don't think that's right. I think being fair to your race is also holding people accountable and responsible, even when it kind of hurts you sometimes to do so, while still understanding that many times Black men are falsely accused and falsely convicted, still having that understanding, but also being open-minded to be like, sometimes some of our faves do mess up. Yeah. So I'm sure we'll be keeping
your And if there's proof, there's nothing we can do about it. I mean, if she has video surveillance evidence, then boy, you hit her. So there's nothing that we can do. You know, you just got to prove that you didn't.
Tanya Christopher said Black people should be the least prejudiced because we know how it feels. Yeah, I agree. Yeah. And Dee Dee said Black men said Asian women are easier to deal with than Black women. Yep. Abuse is wrong regardless, and that's what Dr. Larry Chu says.
And I want to just add to this too, because I know sometimes we joke and we talk about, you know, like you got with that white girl, she did a Karen on, she called the police. Black women, if you are in an abusive relationship, take notes from these white women, these Asian women, call the police and get out. Don't sit in a relationship because you want to be down and let this man continue to beat on you. Do what they're doing. Document everything and get out. Sometimes you got to do that. And I think sometimes with us being Black, we try to be down until we're down in the ground, you know, and, you know, take a page out of their book and, you know, get help.
And then the whole no snitching thing, trust, been there, done that. You do that and you look out, well, I don't want to call police because of that will come and bite you in the butt later on. Well, if it was so bad, if I was so wrong to you, how come you didn't call the police? Exactly. I agree. All right. Miami rapper Uncle Luke recently gave some controversial thoughts regarding women. Take a look.
That's why y'all can't get no man. You gotta cook. You gotta be a great cook. You gotta be great at you gotta, your stuff gotta be tight and right. Half of y'all don't know how to douche.
Okay, what are your thoughts on Uncle Luke's recommendations for women, and what recommendation would y'all give to men? Armand, I'm gonna go to you first.
Y'all not gonna like this, but listen, he has his points. Listen, if women can sit online and debate what a man needs to do, how a man needs to, you know, court them, and how much money a man needs to make, and how they don't want to be hospice wives and blah, 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 blah. A man can say, well, my needs are this. You need to be able to cook. You need to be able to clean. You need to be able to suck some D or whatever the case is. And listen, you guys may not want to hear it, but these are the men that you guys want, and they're telling you what they want from you. So if you want the men, listen to what they're saying and stop being offended by it and listen to the guy. All right. And men, at the same time, if you want these needs met, then you have to meet the needs of the women as well. It's a give and take. I think both parties need to listen to one another, because I think a lot of times women and men go back and forth and saying, well, I need this. And they're like, well, I need this. And no one's listening. That's why nobody gets what they want.
Okay. Al, what do you think?
You know what? If it wasn't anyone other than Uncle Luke, I would have been like, this was a tad bit cringy. But you know, Uncle Luke, this is on brand for Uncle Luke. Remember, Uncle Luke took on the Supreme Court because he was making sexually explicit music, and they were trying to ban him out of the music game altogether because he sexualized the entire booty shaking, sex in the club, all of that. So I'm gonna say, you know, it's Uncle Luke. This is his brand. This is how he's always talked. Claudia knows this. I don't know if you know who he is, Armand, because it's a little bit before your time. But this is Uncle Luke. He's the reason why the videos exist the way they exist now. Mm-hmm. He ushered in all of the freedom that you see in rap videos, in R&B and hip hop videos, because of him taking on the Supreme Court. They were trying to X him out. They were trying to say that it was against the law to make explicit videos. So ever since then, all his talk has been around sex. All his talk has been around women keeping your tussy cat right for the man, and also how to keep a man. So for him, for me, this talk is on brand. If it wasn't him, it would have been a tad bit cringe worthy for me.
Oh, it was still cringe. And Luke is, I consider Luke a friend. Go look at the Bounce to the Beat music video from 19. 19-
Were you in it?
Oh, he was cool. Wild though. He's have, you know, I've seen the videos with Jay-Z and Lil Kim, how the girl eating poop right by him. I'm like, it's crazy. Yeah.
It was this one clean video, and we still talk to this day. I will say this, Luke, you have every right to say what you want in a woman, because you're right. You should say what you want. If that's what you want, then that's what you should get. You should have, especially if you're providing what you should be providing as a man. The only thing I took issue with in your rant was incorrect information about the female body. And this is what happens when men be speaking on female bodies. I'm sorry. Douching is so 1997, when our grandmothers would see that. We see that red bag in the bathroom with the tube hanging over the shower. It is not good for you. It has been proven that it throws off your natural pH levels. It is not good for you. Now, I do understand that some of these young girls ain't really cleaning right. They wiping back to front instead of front to back, and you are getting bacterial vaginosis, and that is that smell that you're getting. That is not something that you're not necessarily dirty. Actually, also that happens. I have to just do a quick lesson. You can also get bacterial vaginosis if you eat too much sugar in your diet, or if your man is cheating on you. That's another way we'd be knowing y'all be cheating, because you're mixing fluids here. Even when you wipe it off, there's still a little something in the tip there. I'm just going to tell you right now.
Where you're having unprotected sex.
Unprotected sex, right. That's how a lot of us be catching y'all out there. Now, douching can make your levels, can give you bacterial vaginosis, because you're throwing off the natural flora in your vagina. So please, Luke, do not tell these girls to go douche. They should go see a doctor and get an antibiotic if they're feeling not so clean and fresh down there. But I do agree, there are a lot of people who do not know how to wash and take care of themselves, and I don't see nothing wrong with that. But I just want to correct the incorrect information. You gonna have these girls having time to make the donuts down there if you tell them that bad.
So the thing that, you know, the Eve thing is no longer. You know, the
Summer's Eve. No, it's
Summer's
not good.
Summer's Eve is no longer. Women don't use that anymore.
It's not. Your vagina cleans itself. It's a self-cleaning entity. Mm. Now, if you're out there being a mess and you throw off your pH levels, and that can happen from using cheap hotel soap. Ladies, highly recommend just using Dove soap. I'm speaking facts here, y'all. I'm just telling y'all. When you do it too much, maybe you can do it occasionally, but not a lot, you will throw off your natural levels and you will have a smell. It will be a combination of wet carpet and fish. And that smell that I'm not going to.
Well, I feel seen, because I got the red bag that you hang up and get on all fours and you dish it out. I use that.
Well, that's an enema, right?
It's the rubber thing, and it's the tip, and it's when you sit in the shower and you let it drain, and then you.
Oh, yeah, I know what that's for.
Yeah.
Do you remember when fucking gave me that for Christmas?
Yes. So Armand, and we'll do that this Christmas.
What in the world? What is this?
We're gonna give shady Christmas gifts. So we're gonna definitely do that. And now that we know that you like the red bag, maybe we'll.
Oh no! Yeah, exactly.
We know what you're getting for Christmas: a brand new enema. We have some comments. Mr. Burns said, "Don't use scented Victoria's Secrets and Bath and Body soaps down there either." Antoinette Patterson said, well, Uncle Luke needs to educate himself on women's hygiene. Women don't douche. And Lisa Lollipop said, let's get Luke on the show. Which I want Luke.
Yes. But he's going to say a bunch of things that we can't say on here.
You know, but he was running for office at one point. So he was. Yeah. So I think we can get the clean. I'm going to reach out. We're going to try to get Luke. If y'all soulmates, if you want Luke on the show, put some.
Reach out to.
Okay. All right. Coming up next, find out what business Kanye West is about to launch. And later, we're opening up about elevating in life. We'll be right back.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, welcome back to the show. All right, y'all, according to TMZ, Kanye West has his eyes set on launching an adult entertainment company called Yeezy Porn. He's been consulting with porn vet Mike Moss, who is the ex-husband of Stormy Daniels. Now, with Kim Kardashian having one of the most popular sex tapes in the world and Kanye launching a porn company, does it send a negative message to their children? Armand, what do you think about this?
Absolutely. I think it's a little bit bizarre. I'm not here for it with Kanye. I think it's bizarre on many levels. First of all, you have, you know, Kim Kardashian. She's got famous off a sex tape. Now, Kanye West, you're going to go into doing a porn company. But he's also made it clear that in the past he's had porn addiction issues, you know. And so and now he's got his new wife, you know, walking around naked. So in some instances, you might seem like, oh, this is on brand, you know, both his wives are ex-porn stars. But at the same time, I think that this can be dangerous waters for Kanye just because Kanye is a little eccentric and he does things over the top. And I feel like it can get really murky for him because it won't just be regular porn. You know, I feel like he'll get borderline perverted and, you know, mess around and have some kids doing something weird. I just feel like he'll be in a situation where he could get canceled with this. So he needs to really tread lightly with this porn and not let his creativity go too far, if you know what I mean.
And might I point out the obvious? The rebrands you're doing is just wild. Who is advising you? You went from Kanye the rapper to Sunday Service Kanye, yeah, to, oh, I had to get rid of Kim Kardashian because I didn't approve of how sexy she was dressing, to now wanting to have your own porn company and your wife walking around with her whole vajayjay out in these streets for us all to see. Al, what do you think about this? Are you here for it or not?
You know, it's the hypocrisy for me. Let's be very clear. Kanye is purchasing his commercial warehouse for his porn studio in Chatsworth, California. It's funny how Chatsworth, California was exactly where his Christian school, Donda Academy, was located. So it appears to me, unless he sold where the school was, he just may be repurchasing the Christian school to now house his porn warehouse, his porn studio. Come on, Kanye, what is it? Are you a Christian? Are you not a Christian? Are you into porn and a Christian? Do you want people to be sexualized or do you want them to dress not so slutty? It's just the hypocrisy over and over and over and over again that really makes me start to look at him side-eye. Me personally, I'm a Christian and I don't like when people play with religion in order to get followers or to endear sympathy or empathy of any sorts. I think his run in Christianity was very short-lived. His school opening in Christian was very short-lived. And now he's turning Chatsworth, which we know is the porn valley, porn capital of the United States. He's now going from Christian in Chatsworth to porn in Chatsworth. What is this really saying about his mental health?
Yeah, definitely Chatsworth is the porn capital. Everybody that lives in the Valley knows that. That's where they shoot them movies at. I will say this about Christianity. not just when it comes to porn, but there's a lot of people out here saying and proclaiming that they are really good Christians, and they're really not. They're doing all kinds of shady things behind closed doors. And I just think this does not help the narrative when it comes to people being, you know, skeptical of the church. It hurts the church. So please, Kanye, knock it off. All right. Shannon Sharp recently interviewed Amanda Seales and shocked the viewers when he stated white kids bullying her as a child by using the N-word is not racist. Take a look.
I was told that you're only here because you're black. You can't really dance. You're just here because you're black. So don't get any ideas. So that's what I'm being told by the other children. Does that suffice as racist to you, or would you want to call it something else? Is that just kids being mean?
That's, yeah, the kids.
All right, y'all. Do you feel Shannon Sharp doesn't have the range to have these kinds of conversations? Or do you agree that kids were just being mean and they weren't necessarily racist? Al, let's go to you first.
I think it's a combination of range and also think about it. Well, no, I can't even take up for Shannon. So sorry, Shannon, I tried. Listen, Shannon was born in Chicago, but he grew up in Glenville, Georgia, which is 60% white. And he grew up in the 60s and 70s. He can't tell me that he does not know the weaponizing of that word, that N-word. It's just, either you are just tone deaf to your experience. Here you are, a 6 foot something, 200 and some pound black boy growing up in the South, in Georgia. Y'all, Glenville, Georgia, where the percentage of black people is around 30% in Glenville. How can you not know that kids use that word because they learn it from their parents? They didn't grow up. It's not in a dictionary. It's not in any book that they learned. They learned it from their racist parents. So them exercising that word clearly lets you know that they know the tone and the purpose. Very tone deaf on Shannon Sharp's part. And it just makes me feel like I can join in the chat now and say there's certain things he should stick to. And being with a smart person like Amanda Seales and trying to flex on her is not the way to go for him.
All right. Armand, what do you think?
I think as far as Shannon Sharp and Amanda Seales, I think that he kind of went into this interview kind of like how everybody else perceives her. Like, you know, she's a little bit problematic and has an issue with everything. So I don't think he was in this to really be on her side. I think he was really in this to kind of rebuttal her and go back and forth with her, because I don't really feel like he really understands or agrees with her takes on things. Now, as far as the statement, though, I don't agree at all. I went to predominantly white middle school and a predominantly white high school and a predominantly white elementary school. I went to school in Livermore, California and Manteca, California. You guys may not know where that's at, but it's in the Valley. Anyway, I used to be suspended from both, okay? Elementary, middle school, and high school for slapping white girls, slapping white boys, and slapping special ed of both because they used the N-word, okay? Over a volleyball court, over the, what is the thing that you play with, the tetherball courts? I used to slap white girls and white boys all the time for using the N-word. That is racist. And at the end of the day, those white kids know exactly what they're saying and they know how they're delivering it. I used to get caught the N-word all the time as a child, and I used to stay fighting. So they knew exactly what they were doing. And so that's not kids just being mean. That's kids being racist, period.
Shannon Sharp, I know you have me blocked, so you might not see this. So maybe hopefully someone can send you this video. Hollywood, maybe you can send this to Shannon and you can make sure he sees this. I'm your stylist. I know you. I will say this. You were out of your league with this interview, and you've been kind of being able to coast by because you're likable and you were really like the pro black man on a sports show. But when you came on over to doing pop culture and these types of events, these types of interviews, we really get to see that you're not really prepared for this level of intellectualness. I know that's not a word, so I guess I'm not either. But this level of having an intellectual guest like that. Amanda Seales, whether you like her or don't like her, you cannot take away that this girl is absolutely brilliant and very intelligent. Mm-hmm. And a lot, I think Shannon missed the mark with this, and it gave, and I will quote some people in the chat, this ain't it gave shucking and jiving vibes. It gave very much like, you know, well, do you really think they was being racist? I mean, maybe they was just being mean kids. Shannon, you know what it is. You are a big black man from the South. You can't tell me you didn't experience racism yourself. To diminish this woman's experience, I don't know if you're doing it for the moment or you were just trying to like be objective. I don't know what it was, but it really had you looking nuts. It really did. Because a lot of people didn't like Amanda Seales. And she's been talking about it recently. But your interview made people like her because of how you handled it. Like, you actually turned it around for her. I actually think this worked very well for Amanda Seales and made people kind of side-eye some of the stuff you're saying, Shannon Sharpe. And if you ever have a conversation about this, you can unblock me. We can have a talk about this. I don't hate you. I really don't. We just talked about your makeup one time because you did have on Cremation 19. And that's not our fault. You had a really bad makeup artist. And I don't even blame you for it, Shannon Sharpe. But you were definitely out of your league. Royalty QG says, kids do what they're taught. Many children don't understand what racism truly is. They hear it at home and they repeat it. Eventually, they learn what it is. And Ansel D'Angelo said, Shannon isn't meant to be doing insightful intellectual interviews. If it's not entertainment sensationalism, he needs to leave it alone. I don't want to be like the racists that say, just stick to basketball or stick to sports or stick to football. But it would have been nice if he would have been able a little bit more.
I don't think he liked her. I think he went into it to kind of be a little combative or kind of go against her a little bit just because of, you know, who she is.
Maybe so. Yeah.
He didn't go into it with an open mind, clearly.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Okay, Shannon Sharpe. Cardi B recently went live to give her thoughts on homosexuality and how she feels some people who are sexually abused might explore being gay. Take a look.
There's some people that, like, you know, there's people that are born gay. And then there's men that get sexually assaulted and then they find out that they are gay. And, like, some people, you know, people are always going to be judgmental. People are always going to, like, not accept them and stuff like that. But it's like people sometimes don't even know their story or how they got there.
Okay. Are you in agreement with Cardi B's opinion? Or is this messaging ill-informed? Al, what do you think?
I agree with half of it, and half of it is ill-informed. I know for a fact that all the research that I've read, sexual orientation is biologically based. There are tons of articles that you can read, tons of scientific assertions around this. And on the other side, there's also tons of article written about, can sexual assault make a person gay? And all, everything that I've read, and even all of the authored people in sexuality, says it's inconclusive. Now, sexual abuse or trauma can influence anyone's overall capacity for intimacy, relationship, and attraction, but it does not make a difference when it comes to your sexual orientation. So part of it for me, thumbs up, Cardi. Second part of me, I need to see where she's getting that information and what helped her come to that conclusion.
Okay. Armand, what do you think?
I mean, I like what she said because I think she was more coming from a place of, you know, maybe you don't like gay people or maybe you don't understand homosexuality, but maybe, you know, a lot of people that she may have ran into, they feel that they've fallen into it because they've been sexually assaulted. So maybe you're a person that doesn't like gay people, but you don't know their full story. Maybe they weren't born gay. Maybe they feel like they were sexually assaulted. So that's why they are this way. So before you judge a person, understand their story first. I understand that. However, I just would like to say, I know most people like to lean in on that angle of, if you're gay, you've had to be molested, you've had to be touched, or if you're gay, you will touch. And so I just want to make it clear that all gay people are not victims of sexual assault. You know what I mean? I sternly believe that you are born this way. That's how I feel. I was not raped, I was not molested, but I am gay, period.
I agree. And I don't think she was trying to say that. I'm not saying you were saying that either. And I like that. I think we touched upon something like this before. I had a friend that was an artist and would cry to me, and I would never reveal who this person was, but would cry to me about being sexually confused because he was touched by someone that he really trusted. And he was in tears, like, am I gay? Did I make this? Did I do something to attract? Did I? And he was really confused about his sexuality. And that made me get a deeper understanding of there's levels to this. There's definitely levels. And I do. That's why I said that the other day. I was like, I do think people are born gay. And I do think there's some people that have been, they don't really know what they are. Now there's some confusion because of they were touched. And then sometimes if your body does what a body does and has a natural pause, like, turned on, or if you got to erect over your abuse, you might feel confused. Like, am I gay? that's a complex thing. And I'm glad that she touched upon it. Mm-hmm. Maybe she's not the most well-read about this, but I do like that she's starting the conversation. I don't think she came from a bad place. I don't think mm-hmm. it came from a nasty place. S. Marie said, I have a cousin who was sexually assaulted by her dad and became a lesbian.
All right. All right, coming up next, we're opening up about elevating in life. And later, we have an update on Diddy's scandalous situation. Stay tuned. All right, everyone, welcome back to TGIF. Claudia has had a little bit of a technical difficulty, but she'll be back shortly. So have you ever, you know, moved to a new place and needed to find a doctor, kind of like what happened to me in Los Angeles? Well, you know, I got a solution for you. You know, when you get cornered by that aunt at a family gathering and you feel like you have to bend the truth? You know, the one who asks when you're getting married or what's going on with that promotion, or even why you still haven't moved out of your mom and dad's basement, only for her to not really listen and just judge you. While you may have to grin and bear it with your family, you shouldn't feel that way when it comes to talking to your doctor about that rash that weirdly looks like your high school crush, that you maybe eat pizza one too many times a week, or something else. Enter ZocDoc, the place where you can find and book doctors who will make you feel comfortable and actually listen to you. And we're not talking about a few, we're talking about tens of thousands of doctors, all with verified patient reviews, so you can make sure the vibes are vibing before you even meet the IRL. With ZocDoc, you've got more options than you know. ZocDoc is a free app and website where you can search and compare highly rated in-network doctors near you and instantly book appointments with them. Now, I want to share with you that I actually used ZocDoc when I first moved to Los Angeles and I was having a situation. I've shared before on the show. I didn't have any doctors out here, so I went on ZocDoc, and guess what? I found a doctor literally two blocks from my house to help me with my situation and got it handled. So if you're in need, go to ZocDoc.com/T and download the ZocDoc app for free. Then find and book a top-rated doctor today. That's ZocDoc.com/T. ZocDoc.com/T. All right. So, Claudia, you're back. Yay! I almost had a heart attack doing that.
Well, good thing you have ZocDoc in case you do have a heart attack. And you can call them and you can find out where a doctor is by you. And they can help you with all of that, that anxiety that you would have. I know you would have so much anxiety, Al, if I was not here to cheer you up for your day and make you happy and make you smile. ZocDoc is a great idea. I think it's amazing, especially with people that move around the country a lot. You know, a lot of times that's one of the hardest things when you move into a new place, a good barber, a good hairdresser, and who's going to be a doctor. Amazing app. I highly recommend you check this out. Oh, want me to finish it up? All right. Promotional considerations. ZocDoc. Now let's get back to some topics. All right. What's something that you've had to let go in order to elevate your life? Things you had to let go to elevate your life. Armand, let's start with you.
I think it starts, you know, I'm very big on the mind. I think it starts in my mind. I think I've had to get rid of, like, you know, negative thoughts and just always feeling like someone's out to get me or something is not going to work. Limiting beliefs, I think. Once I started focusing my energy on what I wanted and more positive things and affirming those things, I saw a difference in my life. When I focus on the negative, I would get more of that. And mm-hmm. so I think elevation comes, you know, when you start focusing on the things that you want positively and not okay. negatively. So
Al, I want to go to you as well. This could be something as small as social media or as big as a friendship. What is something you got to get rid of?
For me, I think one thing that I've had to do over the years, and it's come in phases, right? But one thing that's been consistent is I have to get rid of negative energy and negative people around me that aren't breathing life into where it is I want to go. So, you know, even though I like going back home, I love hanging with the guys, but some of them are still where I left them in high school. And even though I had the camaraderie with them then, I simply can't have their energy around me because it can bring me down. I've had to shed friends over the years because of this, because that where I want to go, the support that I need to get there has to come from a positive space. It can never come from a negative or like not supportive space. So for me, it's been keeping negative people and negative energy at bay.
I think we're all kind of on the same page with this. I remember I had a friend that every single time I talked to this person, it was always something wrong. It was always like, this person, that person did this to me. And I'm like, I remember I took this class and I had to like kind of shift things around and it changed my life. It really did. It changed things from, you know, I never get the job to I'm going to get the job. And I saw it really, really happen like immediately. And I've gotten so many things since I did this that I don't even ask for these things anymore. They just kind of fall into my lap. And I think that's just a reward of being positive. And I know that brings a lot of jealousy along with it. And that makes it even harder because one of the worst things is finding out like someone that's in your friend circle or someone that's close to you, you think is jealous of you. And so, you know what? They see the light around you as well. And when you're jealous of someone and you just fixate on them, you never get the stuff that you want to get. You don't. Mm-hmm. You do not get it. But if you can like swallow that, and it's hard sometimes, it is hard to swallow that sometimes. But when you do, I promise you, things will start opening up for you that you never thought you would even get. You never thought you'd be in the conversation. So just that energy, I think we're all kind of saying the same thing, that negative energy. And some people talk about it, but don't really do it. But some people actually really do it. And you will see the difference in their life. It will be reflected.
It's so funny. It's so funny you said that, Claudia. It's resonating with me right now because I didn't learn that until after college. When did you? I learned that I let life lessons teach me that. So one of the things that I make sure I teach in every class is that positive affirmation. Like even I'm teaching a self-promotion and marketing class about how to promote yourself. And the first thing I need my students to do is to believe in themselves and want to know positively who they need around them and the energy they need to attract to get where they want to go. So I have them do vision boards. As simple as it may seem, vision boards are a great exercise to help attract positive energy, to help you focus on where it is that you're trying to go in your life.
I learned it I remember the very moment. I was 21 years old. I had helped this girl that was a model. She was actually a stripper. And I brought her to my model agency in Boston. And she blew up and did all the things I wanted to do and I thought should have been for me. And I found myself, and I'm speaking from experience when I say these things, I found myself fixated on her and jealous. Why her? Why her? Why can't we both get it? Or I was jealous of her. Right. And I checked myself. It only lasted for 2 weeks. But those 2 weeks, I felt what a miserable person feels like. And I never wanted to feel that again. I checked myself, right? I checked myself. I'm like, why are you comparing yourself to this exotic looking, 6 foot tall, legs up to here? She is definitely a runway model. Claudia, you're not a runway model. Yours will come somewhere else. And as soon as I let it go in that jealous feeling, everything came to me without me even trying. But I had to acknowledge it, though. And it's very hard to admit I was jealous of you. And it's very hard because people don't want, I ain't jealous. I don't care. No, sometimes you are. And that is blocking you. I promise. And I never went there again. I've never, because I don't know what her story is. I don't know why she really needed the bookings. And later I found out her life had so much tragedy and she deserved it. She deserved it. Destiny said I had to get rid of friends to elevate. And Tyler said I had to stop going out so much to save money to elevate. Now I have a nice savings.
Okay. How do you know the difference, though, Amon? I want to hear your opinion on this, between jealousy and being competitive.
Oh, so competitive, right? It feels friendly. You know what I mean? You can laugh about it. Jealousy, people make sly comments. You can feel it's the energy thing when you feel like, okay, this person is jealous of me because they're always trying to make comments about things that you do or, you know, little innuendos. You're like, well, why are you paying attention that close? Like, let's just say if we're on the show and you're like, oh, I need to make your money, or I don't have that kind of car, or well, sure, it'd be nice if Armand will pay sometimes, or Armand is linking up with such and such. It's like, okay, you sound like a hater.
That's not. Well, I must be a hater because you owe me for drinks.
I
paid for all the drinks that night we hung out, young man. I must be a hater then. You owe me a night out.
It sounds like hate to me.
They say, you know, that's what they say. They do call you a hater.
If the shoe fits, wear that thing.
I am not a hater. Why should I have to pay the whole night? This boy makes more than
hey,
me. Probably.
I paid and I ordered an Uber. And wait, hold on.
Al, you did not.
Since we get into it, yes, I ordered an Uber Black. You ordered a basic Uber. Let's talk about it.
What?
Yeah.
High hourly rates and all those jobs, you should not be hurt. You are not hurt for no money, Al. Who are you trying to fool here?
I had Al pulling up to the club in an Uber Black. Al had me going somewhere in Little Ethiopia in a dirty Nissan.
You lying. That a dirty Nissan. Dirty Nissan and me don't even go hand to hand. Then you know better.
Keep it locked. There's a lot of hate in the room today. Keep it locked because coming up next.
You owe me a night out. I know that.
Oh, okay. Y'all going to do that again? All right. Maybe y'all invite me this time.
Yeah.
Next, we have an update on Diddy's scandalous situation and later find out who is being accused of gatekeeping travel destinations. Oh, I need to know about this one. We'll be right back. Al, don't be getting no Uber.
I don't even know what he's talking about.
Welcome back. Y'all being real shady in the chat. Y'all enjoyed. See, I like when they enjoy the arguments that don't get personal. Like, they like the play.
That was personal.
Was it? It was the truth, Al.
Boy, when I tell you, you are.
Sometimes the truth hurts, Al. Speaking of that, we have an update on Diddy.
Okay.
Diddy's assistant and alleged drug mule, Brendan Paul, has been officially charged with one felony count of drug possession. The 25-year-old was originally arrested after Diddy and his crew were stopped at an airport in Miami. Authorities found drugs in Brendan's bag during the search. What are your thoughts on this story, Al? Let's go to you first.
I think, in my opinion, they're reaching. I think he got one felony charge of possession, but not distribution. Remember, in the complaint, this mole right here is supposed to be distributing the drugs to all of Diddy's people. However, this is a huge sign to Diddy that something is coming down the pipe. They're just trying to figure out how and when and what.
Well, folks on social media are speculating that Brendan will rat Diddy out. Armand, what do you think?
Hey, I think that he's okay with it. Because, I mean, when you sign up for something like this, I feel like this is your job. He knew that this was his job as the handler. So you understand that there might be a possibility that you need to go down, you know? And I think that he's willing to take the fall. Unfortunately, he might be stupid enough to say, hey, I'm willing to be the fall guy, Diddy. You know, you protect me. You'll get me out of it. He's young and dumb. And I feel as though that, you know, his white privilege will prevail. Because they want Diddy. They don't want him.
Remember, it's a felony. It's a felony. I mean, a felony does, this type of charge does not warrant him squealing. It's just not big enough charge. Now, distribution may be a different story, but a felony of drug possession, that's not that big.
Have any of y'all ever done?
I think he's going to take it. He's going to eat it. That's his job. He's supposed to do it.
Have any of y'all ever done any work in the mule space? Have y'all any dropped up any bags or anything?
Nah, I'm not going to be nobody's
mule. No, but we know
mule.
You have. Go ahead and let's hear this story because I heard
you got a story, Claudia.
But I
didn't
get the whole story.
That's why I don't tell Al none of my business no more. Because
you said it on the show.
I don't know what you're talking about. I did not know what
you're talking about. You and your girlfriend back in the day, you made a run. You told it on the show.
I have no idea of what you speak of. I don't even know you, Al.
You would be like, Claudia, you would be like the perfect aunt, or like I would like to go to their house as older, because I feel like you have a story for like everything.
I do.
Like, so much stuff. I'm like, girl, tell it all to me. You
and
know
the
what I mean?
Sometimes complain, they're like, oh, here she goes. She got a story for everything. Hey, I'm 51 years old. I was born in the 1900s. I was born in 1973. Yes, I have stories about celebrities. Yes, I have stories about politicians. Yes, I have stories about mistakes I made in my 20s. And maybe there was a drag, a bad fuck off in Chicago here and there. Yes, I have lived my life. That's why I have such a smile on my face. I've had an eventful life with lots of fun. And
I think people are not realizing while you've also been in celebrity culture, you're very attractive. So I think that adds a level of experience that you're just going to get with men and just, you know, just being in spaces where most people, they may not have those stories because they may not have the privilege.
Well, thank you, Armand. Yes, you do see a lot of things. Like, there's been a lot of things I have seen. So I'm all right with that. But yes, Armand, you come over, I make some linguine clams, white wine sauce.
Can you order some fried chicken?
You can make the fried chicken since you know how to cook it. So all this goddamn criticism.
That's a beautiful kitchen.
Thank you, Al. Thank you. We're going to have a little get together at my house one day. We'll tell some stories. All right. Taylor Swift's Black fans are outraged by the lyrics in one of her latest songs, I Hate It Here. In this song, Taylor sings, my friends used to play a game where we would pick a decade we wish we could live in instead of this. I say 1830s, but without all the racists. Do you think these lyrics warrant outrage or are people just overreacting? Let's go to you, Armand. What do you think?
I just think I wouldn't care. Honestly, I don't think that it's a big deal. I think that we don't need to be outraged about it. I mean, Taylor Swift's an artist. I think that she understands the climate. So I don't think that, you know, her saying that she would like to live in the 1830s without the racism should be a reason for Black people to cancel her. She said without the racism. So right. Let her have it. Like, we don't have to be so critical about every little thing. It's not that serious to me. I don't care. And I don't listen to Taylor Swift. So who cares?
But it is, I get you. I'm glad you did put the disclaimer, right? Without the racism. But why did you pick 1830, though?
That's, maybe it's the fashion, the style.
Y'all got me messed up. First of all, the 1830s is when we built the railroads in the United States, and that's when slaves were used the most. What in the Sam Dixon is she talking about? That's when racism was the worst. What she mean, maybe what she meant was because we were slaves, we didn't have a say. But racism was deepest then. What is she talking about?
Well, maybe she meant without all the technology and social media, everything was more of the simpler life.
Get out.
I just feel like the 1800s, I'm with you, Al. The 1800s were particularly contentious for us Black people.
Absolutely.
They were trying to get freedom. And then it wasn't until 1865 that most Black people were free of slavery than 1868 for real in Texas. I just feel like that was an odd year to say, and you have got to expect some smoke to come with that. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? But I need her to give us a reason. Was the fashions, I don't think the fashions were that popping in the 1800s.
Maybe it was the lifestyle then.
What
I'm trying to throw her a bone. I'm trying to throw her a bone.
You were riding on a horse and buggy. What a lifestyle.
Armand, you're giving Shannon Sharp right now.
There was no air conditioning. You were sipping on lemonade, sitting on the porch. Boy, no. That's that white privilege right there.
You had no TVs. You had no air conditioning. You had probably didn't have toilet paper back
no
then.
No air condition.
No feminine products.
No cars.
Why do you want 1830, Taylor Swift?
No cars.
Neither the ning.
Oh, no, Armand. I think it's given. Go get me some lemonade.
Yes, girl. Go ahead. Rip it down.
Coming up, find out who is being accused of gatekeeping travel destinations. We'll talk about it. Ooh, look at that water when we return. Welcome back to TGF. I just want to give a birthday shout out. We haven't done this in a while to Cookies Crumbles TV. They said it's their birthday. So Taurus season, happy birthday to you. Now, don't everybody be my DM to ask for a birthday shout out. It ain't gonna happen every single show. All right. A woman received lots of backlash on a tweet she wrote. The tweet says, Turks and Caicos lost its exclusivity to the point where I'm not pressed to go anymore. Please take me to St. Bart's. Someone replied, Black people got this weird relationship with exclusivity and luxury and trying to gatekeep it. Someone else wrote, Black people want to be better than each other so bad. She really means too many Blacks go now. I fear the community will never get on track. All right, y'all. Do you think this is gatekeeping or does she have a point? Al, what do you think about this story?
It's funny because I think that about St. Bart's. But I've been going to St. Bart's for over 30 years. So I think it's your perspective. It also depends on your travel experience. You know, if Turks and Caicos is what you thought was luxury and exclusive, when it started opening up and a lot of people started learning about it and started going, then it wasn't exclusive to her anymore. Maybe that was exclusivity for her. And for her to say, go to St. Bart's now in 2024, baby, St. Bart's isn't exclusive anymore. That was back in the 90s. So I think it's all about perspective and people's travel experience.
Okay, Armand, what do you think about this?
I mean, I kind of agree with those comments. I feel like Black people, we do subconsciously be trying to be better than each other, you know? And when we feel like too many Blacks go, we don't want to go there anymore because we like to feel like, you know, we're doing something that's different than other Black people, or, you know, they're not as cultured or traveled as us. So we like to go brag about it. But then when more Black people start elevating and start traveling to those spaces, we then feel like it's now getting ghetto. You know, when we see that white people are traveling to places, it seems like, okay, there's something alluring about it. But then when Black people attach to it, now it's not as exciting anymore. Now it's just like, girl, you're just going to Mexico, child. Everybody's in Turks and Caicos. Let me go somewhere else. So I don't know if we ever get past that, but it does feel as though Black people try to be more exclusive, you know, than other Black people.
We do. And I wish we didn't do that. MJ said, I'm so sick of Black people trying to be elite and shame others. Mm-hmm. Randy said, Lisa Wright basically ran Turks for years. Girl, that ain't nothing new. And Jared said she must have just got her passport. And people are really saying that. Yeah, I don't mind going to a place where a lot of Black people are. I think it gives me, it's fun because obviously if we're both in this nice upscale place, you have money to be there. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? It's not like we're going to Vegas and South Beach. Like that's kind of played out. Cool. But when you getting on a plane and going somewhere, like I'm glad, hey, I'm gonna be in Aruba for Soul Beach this year and I'm going every year. And lots of Black people go, they're all like 40s, 50s. And like that kind of age group is not ghetto. It's fun. And I enjoy seeing my Black people out in the water, swimming on boats. I think it's fly. You know, I went
with Claudia last year and I did have fun. It was my first year and it was a lot of fun.
I won't ever miss it now. It's great. But yeah. Okay. Speaking of exclusivity, that word is beating me up today. Check out this tweet. Dating for 7+ months and still being indecisive about exclusivity is manipulation and a waste of time. All right. When is the right amount of time to become exclusive with someone you're seeing? Let's go to you first.
I just feel like take all the time you need. See, that becomes a problem when you try to run and jump into these relationships and, you know, move in together. Then you end up having a baby. I feel like every person has a representative and you need to break through that first layer. And then once you've got through that first layer of that representative, you still need some more time to see if you can be with this person. Because once you break through that representative layer, you get to see who the person really, really is. So however long that takes for you to be comfortable to really be with that person, then take that time.
All right, Al?
I think it depends on the relationship. It depends on the person. It depends on who's involved. It depends on the combination. I safely say before going completely exclusive, it's like 6 months for me, you know, because that'll give me enough time to try to figure out. And plus, I'm older. So I think as younger, you should take longer. I think it should take like maybe a year because you've got to make sure you get all those extra stragglers out of that person's life.
I'm 51. I don't have that kind of time. If I meet you, I feel the chemistry, sparks are flying. I'm in the third quarter. I'm not waiting all that time. When I feel it, I'm going to go ahead and go for it and do it. Hey, y'all, I want to remind people I'll be in Charleston tomorrow. TheGreatShakeUp.com. Come see me. Day party and event 12 to 5. I want to thank my co-hosts, Al Reynolds and Armand Wiggins for joining me tonight. Thanks for watching us on YouTube. Stay tuned for Foxhole Face Off. We'll see you back here tomorrow talking our stuff. Y'all have a good one.
Good night.